it's all canon at Gmail.
Experience.
It's all canon at podcast.
No, but it redirects to
Gmail. Yeah, we redirect all our email to a Gmail address.
Oh, I was going to say, if you guys have been trying to log into the Gmail one, you guys have been doing it wrong.
Yeah, we'll create one as well.
Yeah, I spelled canon wrong, okay? So
it's all actual canon.
It's all actual canon.
I didn't realize. It's all Nikon now.
I didn't realize it was two different spellings.
Yeah, it's all canon with a K.
Well, sometimes you need to admit that you don't know things.
Hey! We're a listener!
Holy
shit!
Someone sent us an email?
Yeah!
Are you recording?
Yes!
Yes! Quick, read it out!
Okay.
Does it say that we're really
shit? No, we'll read it out later. We'll have an intro.
Okay.
Alright.
Who? The freaking person in this day and age that still produces one-ply toilet paper should be hung, drawn, shot.
You bought it!
Yes! But who comes and assumes that one-ply toilet paper still exists?
And no one's removed it from the toilet yet.
Yeah, and also, like, even if we're camping... That's no excuse.
No, it's no excuse, but I
did. Yes, two-ply toilet paper is going to weigh twice as much,
but I think
we can manage it.
You just get half
as much.
If you're
really talking about weight...
You have to use twice as much.
We're going to need to use the same amount of sheets for our business.
But you can only... Like, the smallest pack you can buy toilet paper in is like a four-pack, yeah? This was the only ones that I could find that were individual, and that's why I bought
it. So you buy a four-pack and
you
hand
up? You bring one.
Yeah, I was about to say, you take it out, throw the other three away if you want.
But I don't think it... one play toilet paper anymore. Who is that?
Like,
what market is that directed at?
You
Russians.
Idiots.
The people that don't poo.
I might as well have brought a roll
no
of
hands.
You might as well have brought a roll
why
of baking paper.
Why would people with no
paper?
Hands to protect not
because otherwise you don't get the poo on your hand because you have a claw that you specifically use to grab the toilet paper.
What are we talking about?
I would not wipe my ass with a claw. That's terrifying.
Anyway.
Where did the claw come from?
If you have no hands,
it's the obvious answer.
Yeah.
I thought if you were a bear.
Would you want a prosthetic hand that can actually grab stuff or a claw that doubles as a sword?
Mm.
I would take.
I'd take the claw sword.
What's his name?
Not cut off hand for doing delicate things.
No, just sword.
There was a Bruce Lee movie, wasn't there, where the baddie in it had his hand cut off, and he had like all of these accessories, and during the fight, he's like changing from sword to like multiple claw thing and all sorts of.
Into the dragon, it was. I don't remember the sword, but it's been a long time since I watched
Wasn't there a superhero that did that where he had like this weird claw attachment, and it would like spin out, and the other one would fold in, and he would just like it was like a Swiss Army knife.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I can't remember who it is.
I don't even know if that's just something I invented or if that's an actual thing.
No, that's an actual thing because I'm just like remembering like
I remember it being.
I know Guts has got a sick cannon in his arm.
Yeah,
Guts
from Berserk.
Oh, I haven't seen it.
It's Dark Souls.
It's Dark Souls. Oh, okay. Dark Souls the anime, essentially.
Basically.
Okay. Yeah, I know. I've heard that a lot.
It's great. There's only 300 chapters.
It's
really short.
More reading than I am ever willing
not
to
really,
do.
Not really. They're short because the art's great.
Yeah. 300 is not as many as you think because it's been going for ages.
Was this the fellow you were talking about, Ben, that it's not like a Naruto or a One Piece where they're just diarrhea shitting out?
No,
as many
he does. He puts out like a couple of
no,
chapters.
No, this guy has
here.
Constipation. But when he does shit, it's immaculate.
It's a squeeze out a nugget of gold every now and then.
Well, that's
going to hurt. Speaking of squeezing out nuggets of gold. Welcome to a very special Australia Day long weekend episode of It's All Canon.
Does this mean that we have to use I can't say
let's
it?
Put on our fake Australian accents.
No, because if I do that I have to swear a lot and it's not like my normal swearing, it's like
you get racist.
No, only if I drink. I get real racist if I drink.
On this special Australia Day episode, we celebrate our national holiday in the way the Australian only Australians can, without Hotline Miami 2.
Yeah, that's a bit sad. Should we introduce ourselves?
Oh, yes.
My heart's sick a bit then.
Felicity can start today, because that's never been a combination
before.
Oh, okay. I'm Felicity, and I'm pretty much a non-gamer. Sitting in, learning some things.
You're a guest.
You're a guest. We might have a discussion a bit later on where we try and recommend some games that Felicity might be able to enjoy. I'm Will.
I'm Alex.
I'm Ben.
I'm Jonathan.
Cool.
We love you, Jonathan.
I don't.
I don't. Yeah.
I used to use a shitlord.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh. That's harsh. It's really harsh. That's your brother you're saying that about.
I'm going to leave the podcast now. Is it like, just, I'm just gone.
Oh, so, no.
Can I move in here now?
Yeah, sure.
So you don't want him. So he is a shitlord.
No, no, he's not.
I win!
You twisted my words.
As long as there's one lock in the house.
There's
yeah.
one.
Yeah. There has to be one.
There
it's
can
like
be
it's,
only one.
It's the Lich King, right? There always has to be a port lock.
Yeah,
we can call them the New Zealander.
Excuse me.
In my weekly let's fuck over the rest of the household without actually meaning to thing that I did this week. Well, there's the story about how I tried...
You've updated the firmware on the router and killed the internet for like 3 hours.
Deleted all the settings off it by... I didn't mean to do this, but I did. And there was a lot of vitriol coming my way after that. We've got like most houses, you've got a back door and a front door, yeah. But both of them are deadlocked. I thought the back door, because the back door's got like a flicky thingy, you know, like how doors do to unlock it from the inside. I didn't realize that if you lock it from the outside with a key, that doesn't work anymore.
No, it doesn't.
And I'd given the spare key to Felicity so that she could get out of the house in the morning.
So the back door was completely inaccessible.
Mm-hmm.
To the point where I wanted a drink, I had to walk out the front door all the way around the back.
To get to the outside.
And then
fridge.
All the way back around the front again.
Practically a third world country.
Yeah.
Point.
First world problems.
Yeah, yeah.
I did get you guys keys,
and that's
though.
Very nice.
So
I did get you toilet paper.
And
return.
So did
actual
I.
Actual toilet paper.
Yeah.
Oh, did you both guys both buy bog roll?
Okay.
And
milk.
Oh, well, that makes up for the one ply then.
Yeah. Although
we should
got
just
to use
throw
it up.
Out the one ply. Do you really want to use it up?
But I am. I'm too lazy to take it out and then
I'll
replace
do
it. Okay, you do it.
I've ended up with poopy finger twice having used that toilet paper. So
you don't have an old tractor, so you don't need it.
You know, you don't have to use just one sheet per wipe, right?
No,
or is
what
it that bad?
Instead of like doubling
up,
the normal
way. Increases like origami paper.
Well, you should make little loo cranes.
No.
I used to do that with the receipts at work when I got bored.
Do that with hats. Instead of like, you know, pulling off like six and then refolding it, Will grabs a single sheet and then folds that into like four.
Mm.
So then, like, it's just a
tiny
little
square.
Toilet paper isn't that expensive.
Like a
dip. You just dip it in.
No, Will leaves the door open.
Paul Lock and I have a bet that if I can, if he for a year, if I stream from my phone every time I have poo,
I'll
give him $10,000 at the end
of
the year.
Yeah.
That's also not
it's
a thing.
Okay. I'd watch it.
That'd be cool. You that desperate for money, mate?
Will shits is live. Watch it.
I'll put it on Twitch. I'll be an
Kappa.
Instant celebrity.
Aren't there like new rules about that?
Yeah, we did mention that at one point.
So, would you reckon you would get taken down if it was like
just
obvious?
Face cam.
Obvious, you were just sitting on a toilet, but it was like just face cam.
I think you'd probably
like,
be in the clear.
I think
you'd be
in the
fine.
Clear. Mm.
Maybe you would need
I've
to
got
be streaming a game at the same time.
I have to consider some things.
Maybe you need to be streaming a game at the same time. Just like play Angry Birds on your phone while you squeeze someone out.
Just looking like, really, really angry.
That's your channel name, Angry Turds. Mic drop and I'm done.
So you fling like poo at buildings to try to... Like
no, that's just the name of the channel.
Oh, okay.
You just play Angry Birds while you're pooping.
Oh, that's my favourite mission in Saints Row.
And you watch the Twitch chat and...
I've played Saints Row.
Saints
Row
is great.
Saints
Row 1 and 2, don't even bother. Saints Row 3 is solid gold.
Yeah.
Saints Row 3, in the first like five... I remember this very clearly. I downloaded that game and it finished 10 minutes before I had to leave for work. So I just played through the first
so
10 minutes
of the
game. So I
quit my job.
And
I'm not coming in today or ever again.
And in that 10 minutes, you like go flying through like a plane. Like you go through the windshield of a plane.
Yes,
the windshield of a plane.
So Ben described this.
And then it just goes like off the fucking chain. It's crazy.
It's great.
And like for the entire 5 hours I had my shift
and
work, I was just like, I need to get home.
The bit where you like drive a tank out of a plane and then you land on the ground perfectly fine, but it's the zombie apocalypse.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. And you're killing people while you're parachuting down out of the
and then
sky.
You go into Tron but someone hacked you, so you're a toilet.
Yeah, right. That's right.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I remember that.
I think that would gain such a good reception that in 4 you could change your skin. Oh, you could do it in 3.
You could do it in 3? They had a their social site. You could actually upload your created characters.
And people
had Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, you create an account on the site and you just sort of put a checkbox next to all the ones that you want to play, and then when you play the game, it checks your account and downloads all the ones that you checked, so you can play as Bruce Willis.
Yeah. So was the poop spray mission was from 2 though, wasn't it? Or was that from 3?
The poop mission was 2.
Okay. You had to devalue property.
By just telling
driving a septic tank.
You got a septic tank truck with like a pressure cannon on top of it, and you just sprayed a neighbourhood with poop.
That's fantastic. Speaking of playing as different people, my brother, not Alex, but my other
the
brother.
Other one.
The other one.
Warlock.
We won't give him a name. Warlock, I like that.
Because
he's in the army.
Yeah.
And his last name is Portlock.
He,
funny that
we played as Romney and Obama, and that was awesome in Saints Row 3.
Oh, okay.
It was hilarious.
Yeah, I played through 3 as Deadpool and 4 as Nicolas Cage.
Oh, that's terrifying.
And they were both amazing experiences.
I could see Nick Cage being in that sort of universe.
So
shall we go into what's people been doing, or should we go right into the news with Hotline Miami, which we detoured?
I don't know. I think a great segue from that is, I didn't even realize, but Get Out of Hell's out this week.
Is that the...
it's the Saints Row 4 expansion.
It's a standalone.
It's a standalone.
Yeah, the term I heard for it, which I thought was pretty accurate, which was an expandalone.
So a bit like
it plays like the DLC from 3 and 4, but it is completely standalone.
Oh, okay.
It's a new open world.
So like the zombie Red Dead Redemption.
Yeah, like that.
Okay. Or
zombie but Hellfiend.
Or Blood Dragon.
Yeah, just like that.
Which was so much fun. I had so much fun Blood Dragon. It was just everything I wanted.
I
had a lot of 80s. Well, 80s idea of what the future
80s
was.
80s electronica.
Yeah.
So you reckon you picked that up, Benny Boy?
Yeah, I'm going to grab that. I haven't played it yet, but from what I've seen, it looks like more Saints Row, and I'm always down for that.
Yeah, I've been meaning... I think I bought 4 on the last round of Steam sales, and I've been meaning to jump into that, because I had a lot of fun in 3.
Yeah, I grabbed the code for the uncensored version on Amazon.
Oh, and
there's like, I think, 2 missions that get cut out.
Right,
of the normal one.
Yeah, because I saw someone streaming it the other day, and I was like, I missed the ridiculousness of this game.
Yeah, no,
whereas apparently in the start of the game, you think you're the president, and you get hacked, or your brain ends up in some ultimate...
Yeah, like, you get a moral choice right at the start, and it's like you have 2 bills to choose from. It's like, feed the children, or... eliminate cancer, and you can't just feed the children cancer.
Is that a line from the game?
No.
Oh, that sounds like something that would be in Saints Row.
Eliminating the children wouldn't work either.
Well,
what if the children had cancer?
Well, they'd eliminate themselves then.
Yeah.
You'd eliminate themselves.
It's really sad. Bring in the mood down, Felicity. It's not what you're here for.
Yeah, Saints Row is not a sad game. It's all about happy times,
a fresh new perspective to it.
But then he came back in a 2D side-scrolling beat-em-up segment, so that was cool.
And presumably he comes back from hell in the expansion.
Did he never really die? No, he definitely died. My memory of 4 is kind of hazy, but I think
you were drunk
getting back
time.
In that... I was a little drunk, and that is a good way to experience that game. You definitely meet up with him again, and there's like a side-scrolling beat-em-up segment where all the characters are... You know, like the Donkey Kong Country pre-rendered sprite style?
Yeah, they
all look like that. It's great. It's so well done.
I like games that you can play drunk. Like, I've been playing a bit of Transistor. Like, I've been playing because I was
talking
about...
That game does not seem like it would play well drunk.
No, that's exactly what I'm saying. I can't play that game drunk because I can't think anymore.
It's too serious and requires you to actually put some thought in.
Tactical
awareness.
But things like Saints Row, Bulletstorm's a great drunk game.
Shadow Warrior. I've been playing Shadow Warrior. I'll talk more about that.
Shadow Warrior would be fantastic. Bulletstorm, I actually started playing like a few days ago.
Oh, yeah.
I loved Bulletstorm.
I just couldn't...
You don't like the potty humour?
No, it's...
The ridiculously overpowered guns?
See, I don't think I've gotten that far through it. I'm going to have another go at it.
Stick with it. It's not
Yeah,
long...
but you actually play shooters. We only play shooters if there's something going on with them.
Okay. Well,
like,
it...
I don't know. I'm sure it'll probably blow my mind a bit later. And it's really satisfying trying to find all these different ways to kill people and get all these
extra points.
There are some great set pieces.
It's really satisfying to use the leash thing and just pull somebody into like a cactus. It's just like, ha!
And you get bonus points for environmental deaths and stuff like that.
And all the names for the different kills are pretty funny.
The Halo parody ad they did for it, that was good too.
Yeah.
And in stuff in the game, like there's things that you can, it's like, you know, there's the weapon challenges, don't let that stuff bog you down. Don't worry about that stuff. It doesn't affect the game whatsoever. It's just something in there for the people that like that.
Play it the way you like it.
Yeah. Play it the way you like it. Yeah, so the 100%ers, which I'm not one of.
No.
Achievements. Or trophies, whatever the fuck they're called.
The only one I did was Dark Souls.
Oh, yeah, but that's because you won't have that game's babies.
Yeah, there's not a lot of stuff I platinumed. I did Jack and Daxter, I did. And the Atelier games, I've done those.
I think one of the Ratchet and Clank games was the only game I ever properly 100%ed. I think it was Ratchet and Clank.
Oh, I've 100%ed the Spyro 3 as well, but that was before achievements.
Oh, in terms of achievements, Rockets. That's a really good game for achievements.
This is just one.
It was launched the game.
Oh, I tell you one game that I got all the achievements on. Skyrim.
Really?
Really?
Did you play that much of that game? I do remember you playing a lot of that game.
110 hours.
Wow.
I played a lot of Dark Souls. Dark Souls takes a lot more time.
Because I 100%ed Dark Souls 2 in about 90, 100 hours.
Okay, I guess I do have over 300 hours on Kerbal. So.
Yeah, and I've got like 1,000 hours.
That game's not even out.
No.
Speaking of games that are not even out, I was disappointed this week. You know how I was talking last week? Last fortnight, we were talking about our most anticipated games for 2015.
Yeah.
Star Citizen's been delayed.
Shock and horror.
2016 now, so.
Honestly, though.
Color me surprised.
Now I have to be sad. And choose a new game, which would probably be The Order.
So yeah, they had to take a 12-month break to bathe in their money.
I think they just hit 70 million the other day, which is just ridiculous.
Which is pretty good for a game that hasn't even shipped. Have they done anything other than that Kickstarter?
It has like a basic dogfighting module, right? And you can sit near your cockpit.
It's got the FPS module is coming out very soon, apparently, whatever that means.
We want a first person.
We want a frame count. Display.
Yeah, we want a frame count up in the corner.
Steam did that.
But, I was a little kind of like, oh, gotta be waiting for longer for that now. But it wasn't just a Kickstarter, because they said they have Kickstarter, and then you can buy digital ships that don't exist yet at all for hundreds of dollars. Like,
How much did they go up to? The top
tier pack is like tens of thousands.
I'll be honest, it's a little bit gross.
It's a little bit ridiculous.
Some DLC, like, I love cosmetic DLC. I buy all the costume packs for Street Fighter, but that is ridiculous.
Yeah.
The game is not even close.
I mean, it could be the end of 2016.
There was one fellow, like, I'm on the subreddit, and there was a fellow that was talking about, there was this thread like, oh, how much have you spent on Star Citizen? There's a dude that has spent $21,000 on Star Citizen.
$21,000?
For a game that doesn't exist yet.
I've only spent half that on Amiibos.
You could buy a really decent second-hand car for that much. You could buy a new car for that much if you weren't too fussy.
Yeah.
It's just insane. Absolutely insane that people would spend that much money. I mean, it's got to be, you know how they talk about...
wanted a spaceship, not a car.
Yeah, but it's not a real spaceship. Yeah, space...
It's a better investment than those people who bought property in Second Life.
Yeah, that game.
Is Second Life still a thing?
Probably. It's still around.
It probably exists, but
I have loaded up once or twice and left as soon as possible.
As soon as you discovered your first in-game furry.
Well, like furry is one of the like base character creation options, so you know what you're getting in.
But yeah, in Star Citizen, it must be... You know how in free-to-play games, like mobile games, they talk about whales, which is you know...
Like the 0.5%
of the player base, but they make up 99% of the profits that the game make. Star Citizen just must have the biggest whales in the world attached to that thing.
But also, you got to remember that, at least up until very recently, like, the space... game genre was dead.
Yeah, there was not a lot of it. I mean, there were things that had sort of vaguely spacish themes, but not in that way.
Certainly not in terms of like piloting anything. Yeah,
yeah,
like there were games
that,
set
yeah.
in space, but
mm.
yeah. well, there was
nothing like that.
What was that game? Starbound, I think it was.
Starbound
was the.
The closest thing I can think of are the X Games, and I tried those, but it's so much
they're
more
slow.
Weighted on like the trading. It's
yeah.
like a really slow version.
It's
of
like a single player
Sid Meier's Pirates. Kind
yeah,
of thing.
It is like a single
I couldn't
player
get version. Into it.
I don't really. Yeah, I know what you mean. I don't really understand what the point is of in a single player game. You spending 2 hours flying between two planets and nothing really happening in between. Which was kind of.
I think there
like.
Was an option.
Yeah, there
is
like
time dilation.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's stuff
but
like that in like.
Because yeah. the only games that I can think of that I've played even vaguely recently that are like that space type genre are the free space games, and those are old.
Yeah,
so
it's like
2001,
2002.
Yeah. And or with the Battlestar Galactica mod, the Diaspora mod, which is actually really nice. It pretties everything up,
mm.
but it's. Not an easy game to play unless you've got a flight stick, which I do have one of, but even then it's still a bit, it's pretty challenging.
Yeah, the last ones that I really got into were like X-Wing and TIE Fighter, and those are
speaking
like
of
1995.
Which, speaking of which, you see that those are being released on GOG.
Yeah,
I did see that.
I did
yeah.
see that. Little more than I'm honestly the $10 each, which is probably just a little more than I'm willing to pay
for the amount of content
feel.
You get in most of those games. That's pretty reasonable.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know.
You're just too spoiled by Steam.
I am too spoiled by Steam. I think every game should be $7.50 because that's tends to
man.
Be
that's $2.50. I gotta buy that 2/3 of a coffee.
My caffeine intake is important, my friend. But yeah, they had X-Wing Alliance, X-Wing versus TIE Fighter, Battlefront 2, Galactic Battlefronts, Battlegrounds. I've had a couple of
the
drinks.
Angry side of the Force.
And Dark Forces have all come out on there. I don't think all of them were
$10.
I
love
bucks,
Dark
but...
Forces. I used to have that on PS1, and apparently that was like the worst version of that game.
Yeah.
But I loved it. I thought it was great.
Is it the one where you start off assaulting a bunker or something like that? Is it a first person one?
It kind of looked like Duke Nukem.
And you got the lightsaber and you can shoot lasers back and
no,
stuff.
No, you didn't get the lightsaber until Dark Forces 2.
Oh, maybe
Knight.
That's what I'm thinking about.
That one was, I don't know, it was kind of rough. It hasn't aged as well as Dark Forces has.
Oh, okay.
But Jedi 2 is still good.
Yeah.
Some of those PS1 titles did not age well
no.
at all. Even like when
I mean, it's no Tombi.
Tombi's amazing.
Mm.
Tombi's great.
First console,
great.
First console I bought was a PS2. But when I bought the PS2, because I bought it secondhand, I couldn't afford any PS2 games at the same time, so I bought some PS1 titles.
There are lots
of
solid games.
I bought the original Alien game.
Oh,
not,
Alien
not
don't,
Trilogy.
Don't get shooters.
Alien Trilogy's okay.
For PS2,
PlayStation 1.
Generally,
shooters are bad on the PlayStation 1, and it like the 3D, unless it's like really solid gameplay or solid story, doesn't really hold up.
Yeah. Not really.
So, have you been playing anything this week, Portland?
Yeah,
or
I was
going to
say, let's get into that. So, I've been playing.
Given our 3/4 of an hour intro or whatever that was.
It's not 3/4 of an hour, it's barely 20 minutes.
Barely 20 minutes. Time dilation.
Alrighty, so now we're getting into the actual stuff. So I've been playing a few things. One, I've been playing 999, which is 9 hours, 9 persons, 9 doors, which is because I played Danganronpa and I need my mystery fix, which is really good. It's on the original DS. It's like Escape the Room mystery.
Mm.
So like you wake up on a cruise ship that's sinking and you're told along with 9 other people that you've got to find one of 9 doors to escape
right
from. And there's like a bunch of weird mystery stuff and thanks Ben and like
I thought
that
was a chair. That was really subtle, Ben. I'm
no
impressed.
No, it was my shoe rubbing against this chair.
Oh, was it? Anyway, so you've got to escape and then like mystery turns up and it turns out you know there's more to it than obviously meets the eye, so it's really good.
You don't even know.
I don't even know. Like, there's like 5 endings, one of which you have to get before you can get to the real ending.
Yeah.
And I called like the bad guy beforehand, and it's like it's exactly what I thought it was going to be, down to like all the details. And it's like, but there's so much still missing. Like, I don't know who the true bad guy still is, and I don't know like what's going on actually. Because it was a very like superficial kind of, well, this is bad, and it's like, well, sure, but
yeah,
it doesn't solve anything. So
So is there a... Is it like a, you're working with the other people to try and figure out how to get
out
of this?
And
or is
like
there
some
a...
of them are kind of working against you, like you're not entirely sure who to trust.
You've seen Saw 2?
Yeah.
It's kind of like that with less murder and torture.
Oh, okay. So people have been given their sort
of... You're locked in a place and you're all trying to get out, but it's... not all of you will be able to get out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Due to the way, like, you each assign a number and, like, you add your numbers to other people's numbers
mm-hmm.
in order to figure out, like, how you go through the certain number of doors.
Oh, okay.
So it, like, has to add
but
up to a
once a door
number.
Has been gone through, that door is locked off.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
So, like, you have to split up and there's lots of, like, number play in terms of, like, well, I can go with you, you and you,
mm-hmm.
but that means these people can't go anywhere kind of thing.
Right. Okay,
so it's interesting. And there's a sequel which I've already picked up on the Vita called Virtue's Last Reward, which
uh-huh.
I'll play right after that.
So what stops multiple people running through a door?
You
explode.
Oh, right, so you've got bomb collar.
So you basically, yeah, bomb collar on your wrist. It's like a bracelet, and if you go through a door, you have to verify that everyone goes through the door,
gotcha.
Otherwise you explode.
Oh, lovely.
But yeah, it's great.
It's a little bit of Battle Royale.
Yeah, kind of. And I've been playing Shadow Warrior as well, like the remake.
Oh yeah, I saw you play it. It looked wonderfully gratuitous.
It was. It's like a Duke Nukem game that's been updated. It's just like blood and swords and slight racism and demons. It's really good.
I thought you said there was
more
than
Shadow
slight.
Warrior.
Sorry,
Ben.
I said so. It's more Shadow.
Yeah, more
Warrior,
Shadow
I mean.
Warrior. More
yeah.
like Shadow Warrior is an old like Duke Nukem.
I thought you said there was a lot of racism in it when you were playing.
Well,
the dude's name is
Lo Wang.
Oh, God.
It's not like it's not as racist as the original. But it's kind of like
some way,
yeah. And it's the accent's being toned down, and there's like a lot of Japanese, Chinese kind of settings.
Mm.
But it's not hugely racist.
Okay. Kind of like Mortal Kombat, where it's definitely Asian, but from which country?
Yeah, it's not entirely. I think it's meant to be Japanese because there's like a lot of cherry blossoms.
You get away by offending Asians as a whole rather than one specific group of them.
Yeah.
And they hate one another so much that they're just going to say, oh, it's just making fun of the other guys.
Yeah.
it's kind of. Yeah, that's pretty true.
And I've been watching Gekken Shoujo Nozaki-kun, which is really good.
Sounds like an anime.
It is. It's just
really?
Like a slice of life, but it doesn't do anything special in terms of the story, but like it's just like a bunch of kind of sketches, and they're all really solid.
Mm. I don't know, Jonathan. Your brother could have been, Potluck could have been watching one of those really low-budget Japanese sitcoms that they have.
Oh, I know. I don't watch the real TV. No, 3D Pig Disgusting, I believe.
Yeah,
the
Doramas.
Ben and I went to Japan when we were in high school on like an exchange program type thing, and you know, you're sitting around with watching the television and you're like, oh, you know,
there's
Japanese
a reaction
shit.
Face in the corner.
No, it's just like, oh, you know, Japanese culture, let's watch some anime or some shit. But no, all of their live action stuff, it just seems so low quality.
No, you
gotta
watch the samurai dramas. It's
no,
like,
I saw that.
It's like Neighbours with
swords. It's like a soap opera.
Is it
with
like
swords?
All in the Sengoku period?
Must be better than Neighbours, though.
Of course.
Yeah, no, there's only one period of Japanese history, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's about it. I just
okay.
I'm looking forward to Virtue's Last Reward, sequel to 999, and that's about it, really.
Mm. Well, I know what Ben's been playing.
Yeah,
Ben's been playing Persona out the damn wazoo.
Baby. I've been playing Persona Q, and playing Persona Q made me want to play Persona 3 again. So I've been playing a lot of that.
And I assume you'll play Golden after that.
Yeah, I've still got to save partway through Golden. I think I just saved Rise, and I'm about to get into Naruto's story. But they've added a bunch of new stuff to that, so I can't wait to carry on with that. Enjoying Q. It's I'm on my second playthrough, and there is reason enough to play it twice. Because
the story changes, right?
So much the whole story, but. You get different scenes during the dungeons with different characters.
Because you pick Persona 3.
Yeah,
Persona
when you start the game, you pick, do you want to play as the Persona 3 protagonist or do you want to play as the Persona 4 protagonist?
Yeah.
And you get more scenes with whichever protagonist's game you pick.
Yeah.
And there's also the opening and ending are different for them. So the first playthrough took me about 60 hours, and I'm on the second last floor of the last dungeon. I've spent about 10 on the second playthrough, so it's not near as long as I thought the second one was going to be. I'm enjoying it. I'm not enjoying it as much as the other Persona games, just because the character development's not as good.
Yeah, they kind of
reduced to caricatures, with the exception of Kanji from 4 and Ken from 3. We've actually got some interesting stuff going on, which I won't spoil. But yeah, it's definitely a good game. If you like dungeon crawlers, I would say check it out, especially if you're a fan of Persona. I've started reading Steins Gate. Visual novel, which I haven't read a lot, but it seems a sort of time travel, sci-fi, very nerdy. I'm enjoying it so far. It seems like it's going interesting places.
If it's anything like the anime, the tone gets dark.
Yeah. Oh, the tone started kind of dark. Like, within the first chapter. I finished the first chapter. I've just started the second, so...
Oh, okay.
It's just got sort of a kick to get things going, and yeah, I'm interested to read more of that.
How slowly does it start? Because the anime took me like 2 or 3 tries to start watching it, because it starts really confusing and like really slow.
It's not too bad. Like, there's enough going, and they're sort of continually introducing the new characters at a fairly steady pace.
Yeah.
I'd say it's definitely starting better than the prequel Chaos Head did.
Prequel.
Well,
in a sense.
The previous game in the series of games that don't know how to use semicolons.
And then robotics notes.
Yeah. That, I'll admit, I didn't really get super into, but this has grabbed me a lot quicker. I just like the characters a lot.
The characters are the strongest bit of that series, absolutely.
And especially, like, the two main characters.
Which ones do you consider the main characters?
I would say
Okabe, clearly, but
no, I mean like the main character of each game.
Oh, okay,
the protagonist character. So, the main character in Chaos Head, he wasn't really a likable character. Like, I didn't identify with him at all.
You don't have to have your main character be likable.
Yeah, but I didn't enjoy like reading his point of view.
And he just
sort of like at the end he turns into a badass for no apparent reason after being a complete coward for the whole game, whereas Kyoma, I'm like loving reading everything
he says. Amazing,
he's great, and like how everyone calls him out on his bullshit, it's just, I'm loving it,
but he doesn't ever react to the bullshit.
No, he just keeps going.
he's like, he wants to be like a mad scientist kind of guy, but he's not.
Yeah, the
like,
self-proclaimed mad scientist of Akihabara.
He kind of doesn't exactly know what's going on the entire time.
But also, I love the fact that he kind of is a mad scientist.
He is, and he also does kind of know what's going on underneath it, if you know what I mean.
Except
like,
for the things that are going on that he doesn't know.
Well, of course, there's a lot
it's
of...
It's getting convoluted.
You don't even know. The time travel
it's,
hasn't
it's
even
a
started.
It's a
time
travel
yet.
Thing.
Ah, right.
So
yes.
It's going to be convoluted.
Yes.
Yeah, no, I'm really enjoying it so far. And for a visual novel, the production values are really high. This game looks great.
Stylistically, it's really solid.
Yeah. Cool. So wait, is this what you're saying you've been reading? So
I've been reading.
It's originally a visual novel.
I use the word read for visual novels.
No, that's
because
fine.
Not really played. Although
that's
this
fine.
Does have a bit more in the way of gameplay elements than most.
No,
it's an anime series as well, because I haven't read it, but I've seen it.
Yeah, I thought you were reading a manga, something.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But no, that's fine.
I think there is a manga adaptation.
I would not doubt it. There's probably two.
I'd say so. There are a bunch of light novels.
There's
going to
be two adaptations for Persona Cube, one for each protagonist, by different authors.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, that'll be wonderful.
Jonathan,
what have you been playing, buddy?
What I'm playing? I don't think I've been playing anything new at all.
Okay, Will,
really.
What are you?
I was trying to think just before, what have I been playing that's new? And there's only two games that I can think of. One of them was Microsoft Flight Simulator X.
Why?
Which on the menu... Sorry, no, I launched the game... with a single prop plane, so quite a small plane.
Is this where you mess around with the settings? Like,
no.
The weight really high?
I've just been like playing somewhere in, like, I think it was in Libya. I don't even know. It was rendering flat ground, nothing but flat ground, and one very distant building, which was just a giant rectangle, 15 FPS on the lowest possible graphics on my 970.
Yeah, that might be an issue.
So. I have 15 minutes in that game, excluding the time I spent with the menu open while I was playing League. So that and a bit of Bulletstorm, which I'm now wanting to try and actually get into. In terms of stuff I've been watching, The Lion King.
Yeah, Lion King sword.
I really like Lion King. I just wanted to watch the Mr. Timon and Pumbaa.
My friends and
do
I.
Do you remember when we, when like John was watching it,
yeah.
and like there's that new song that we'd never heard?
Oh yeah, that's right. Like it must be some extended edition.
Yeah, I was there as well, and I was like,
what the hell is this?
Which part of my childhood just got deleted? I don't remember this at all. I saw this movie hundreds of, well, not hundreds of times.
Yeah.
I'm exaggerating, of course, but at least a dozen.
Yeah, we had the VHS, and
sorry?
We didn't have many of those.
What was that about?
What was what about?
The song.
Oh, I can't remember what the song was about, but it was a new song
like,
I'd never heard before.
Zazu was reporting on what all
yeah.
the different animals were doing.
Yeah.
I watched it with my hey, friends once. I watched the entire movie just to hear the Lovely Bunch of Coconuts song at the end.
That's not near the end, but
that's
it.
At three quarters of the way through.
Yeah, well, it's toward the end.
Other than that, for watching stuff, I actually, like, earlier Ben came home with a JoJo fighting game.
Oh, yeah.
And
you need to watch JoJo.
I was watching a bit of that, and with the fabulous running that I saw,
it's so good.
And the guy with the really awesome top hat,
it's all canon.
I kind of want to watch it.
I'm just going to tell you, the guy with the top hat is in like the second episode, so you get
yeah.
him quick.
Yeah, I haven't gotten past the first episode because I just keep getting pissed off at Dio.
Dio,
that's what
you're
meant to do.
But I don't like getting pissed off.
Dio
when I
is the best villain. You love
okay,
to hate.
So arc three.
Is this season one?
Yeah.
Ugh. It's rough. I didn't enjoy it.
The first arc is really solid.
Oh, we're looking at Ben's transforming laptopy tablety thing.
The first arc sets up a bunch of stuff, but it's really slow. The second arc kind of gets you into the ridiculousness.
Yeah,
that's
the,
coming,
the second
and
arc,
the third
sets
arc goes
the pace,
off the rail.
And yeah,
that's
and then the third arc is when stands are introduced.
The fourth arc is
see,
like
that's where
there
I
were rails.
Yeah, see,
you could
crawling around for the rest of
you
it.
You can't
I got
start
stands.
At two. You can't really start at
yeah,
two.
Yeah, two kind of depends on one. You could probably start at three, but
you
I would
start,
say...
But then you don't get, like...
one to get the context of why Dio was so evil.
But the thing is, you can't start at three, really,
once.
Because the Dio is the main antagonist, but you don't see him. He's just, like, this looming figure.
Uh-huh.
So
he's
if
like,
you don't know why
in,
Dio's
in
such
three,
a dick, it's
Dio
like, well,
is Dr. Claw.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Always
he's, like, sending out all his minions, and he's always there in the background, but it's like, well... Why do I care about this guy?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how bad he is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Fucking killed a dog. Fuck Dio.
Yeah,
and also the first arc being the weakest, it does only last for like 8 episodes.
Oh yeah, and the
it's
second arc is
much
better. You'll love Joseph.
Yeah,
Joseph
what I was told is that the first episode, first season arc, whatever, just get through it.
Yeah,
and as soon as you get to the second, it just gets so much better.
Yeah, it was the same when I was reading it, and I've. Since stopped reading it because these adaptations are just so great.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna wait until the fifth arc gets
yeah.
animated
mm-hmm.
and watch
so,
it.
Yeah, so I want to at least get up to the second arc and try
it, does get
it
much
when
better.
It gets better.
Yeah,
but like I
second
still
arc
get...
has a mecha Nazi. That's a good guy. And by the end of the arc, he's still a good guy and he's still a Nazi.
That sounds like Eberdorf Linkler.
Pretty much. But he has like a cannon in his chest and it's like, but you're still a Nazi. And then he goes off to Russia to fight the Russians as a Nazi.
Don't forget.
Doesn't that
this,
make him bad?
This is written by
a Japanese
man.
Guy and an Italian who was Zappelli. Zappelli's
yeah.
Italian.
No, so they were both.
They were
Axis
all part of
forces.
The
Axis.
But
yeah.
it's never addressed. Like, yeah, he's a Nazi. It's like, well, okay.
He's just
I just love it.
Rocking
like, mecha Nazi. Anyway,
Jesus
you have to watch
Christ.
It. It's great.
It's great. Yeah,
that's pretty much it. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're doing well.
Me. I've been watching a lot of something that people will not be interested
Boo,
in.
Next. No, you're watching a lot.
Are you watching?
It's cricket season.
It's cricket season in Australia.
Okay,
it's the
so
one sport that I do watch a lot of. So I've been watching a lot of that. It's really... It's been... They've... So for anyone that doesn't know shit about cricket, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, how can you enjoy a game that goes for 5 days and blah, 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 which I can get. Like, I can understand that. It goes for a very long time, the test games. But I've been watching, like, the quick, rapid-fire version of the game, which is meant to be more like, you know, cricket for the masses type stuff.
Is that the 2020?
Yeah, the 2020 cricket.
Yeah,
so.
Look at that terminology I know.
You jock.
You can
get
now
out
leave
my
house.
House.
Get on my level.
Hey, I've seen your T-shirts in the laundry.
What's that?
That's supporting cricket.
Okay.
Because you work for someone that sponsors
I'll go,
it.
I've got to go to work bare chested. I'm sure they'll love it.
Bare chested. Mm. Well, you're not that.
I'm sure you'll love it from the oil.
Yeah,
a truly brave man cooks boils chicken with that, or fries chicken.
Fries
without
bacon.
Fries bacon
without
a shirt.
Fried bacon without a shirt on.
It's
dangerous stuff, man.
It's a little
I've done that.
I lost the difference.
I only cook naked. Gives a whole new meaning to the term fat fire.
Oh man. Oh, that's painful. As far as playing is concerned, I've just been playing more of what I was playing last week, which is Transistor. I'm still having a lot of fun with that game.
It's only like 5 hours long and you've had 2 weeks.
Shut up. I'm near the end of it.
I'm kind of surprised you got so into that. It doesn't seem like the kind of thing that you'd normally enjoy.
I like sort of that. I like the combat system in
combat
it.
System
and I like
solid.
The storytelling.
It does wear down, like, toward that last section. I'm not going to spoil it, but like, this
is totally worth it for the last bit.
The last boss, like, it's one of the best bosses.
If I will say,
it feels like a platinum game.
Anything about the combat? So the combat in it, you've got a set of moves that you get, but you can basically only carry around 4 with you at a time.
Yeah,
I'm not at the point I'm at. I'm not seeing a lot of incentive for me to change from the standard 4.
Okay, and that's where we differ, and that's why you didn't die, like, Danganronpa.
Right.
Because the way the weapons work is that as you use different weapons, so you put, like, use the weapon as a standard, or you use the weapon as a passive, or you use the weapon as a modifier.
Yeah.
It unlocks more of the story of that weapon. So you know how the weapons,
that's all
the weapons are all, like, people?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The more you, like, switch them around, the more of the story you unlock. And you don't like all the background story reading, whereas Ben and I love that.
Ah.
So the incentive is in the fact that A, you can experiment and find, like, cool combinations. Like, you know the dash?
Yeah.
You can, like, there's one version of the dash where you, like, leave behind bombs, and there's one version of the dash where, like, you leave behind a decoy.
Okay.
Like, there's a bunch of, like, cool stuff, and
mm-hmm.
the combinations are useful for gameplay.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you're also unlocking,
the
story. More of the story of the people. Yeah. Especially, minor spoilers, like, bits of the camarada.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which are the baddies.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I'm enjoying the main storytelling method, like how it sort of tells the story indirectly. I quite like that,
and
but
it doesn't like rest too heavily on what they did with Bastion, where you have the narrator that's describing everything.
Yeah.
Whereas the Transistor this time around is more of like a, it's not omnipotent, like it's just like commenting on things.
Yeah, commenting
and
on things that are happening.
It uses.
Because you and the main
silence really well, I think.
Well, because you and the main character, of course, like the main character is also their voice. So you, as the main character, don't say anything, but obviously the main character knows everything that happens to it. But you playing the main character have no idea, which is sort of like makes you think about the gaps a bit.
Yeah.
Also, I know we missed that chance, but can we vote hum button best button of?
Oh yeah, who are the best buttons 2014? So there's one button in Transistor, and there's always music playing, but when you hold the hum button, the main character Red is a singer, so when you press it, you like hum lyrics in your head. Which is really good.
It's quite good.
They released they released the soundtrack, and then they released the humming version of the soundtrack.
But yeah, so I guess that's pretty much what
the ending is. Really solid. Where are you up to?
That's an excellent question. Have I done the spine?
You would know.
You'd know.
No, I have not done the spine.
Sure. So you're actually not that far in.
No, I need to.
You must be about halfway.
I've been very busy at work.
It's all right. We don't judge.
Yeah, we judge you,
but not for this reason.
And I've also, like, I like to have games that I can play and watch something at the same time because, like I've mentioned earlier, I've been watching a lot of the cricket, which in the T20 happens in the evenings, and it doesn't finish until normally about 10:30. So, but
Transistor
Bastion,
is not a
game. Transistor is not a game that you. No. It's not a second screen game at all. So,
no. When I picked it up, I bought it the day it was released, and then played through it straight. I played the whole thing all the way straight through.
Yeah, I think I played through it in a sitting as well.
It's like when Portal came out and you guys.
I played through Portal.
We walked out of a lecture.
That's right. We were in a lecture at the time, and it's like, Portal 2 is released. And this is a game development group. And it's like, Portal 2 is released. This guy's really boring. The entire lecture went up and left to play Portal 2.
Oh, wow.
It was totally worth those golden potatoes.
Yeah, those golden potatoes got me a free copy of Portal 2 and you did all the work, Ben.
You were making fun of me for that, and I'm like, hey, well,
but I, like
I pre-purchased this, but I've got a free copy of everything Valve ever put out. Would you like a copy of Portal 2?
Yes,
and
please.
Then you and I played through the... played through the multiplayer, but without any voice
chat. Without any voice chat. That last puzzle was a doozy to explain.
In-game...
We just used the in-game communication,
Yeah, like the pinging on walls, which was pretty good.
Yes. Well, I mean, we played through the entire thing, you know, without much communication. Oh, that's really good.
Would it help if there was a wall to ping on in that last puzzle?
Yeah, it's like, as soon as we figure out, like, you...
Yeah, like, I figured it out. I'm, like, trying to explain
it. Yeah,
yeah,
and it's like, oh, I get it. Yeah, this is awesome.
Yeah, so that's pretty
Transistor,
much...
Yeah,
Transistor, fun. We'll try and finish it and maybe play something else as well in the next week. Do you want to read out the email and then we can go into news?
Oh, yes,
or do you want to do news
and
then...
the email section of the podcast.
We have an email.
We got
it's
an email.
Amazing.
I can't wait.
We have a listener.
Is it from Podomatic?
It is not. It's from an actual person.
Holy
shit. He called us Canoners.
Canoners.
I like it.
Wait,
okay,
Canoners
it's
or Canoneers?
Canoners is now canon.
All right. Okay. So, like, we officially have a listener, which is the best thing. It's probably you guys probably know him. I'm not going to say his last name, but
is it someone we know?
It's someone John knows, Andrew, if you know.
No,
I know Andrew.
Oh, okay, I know him. So
we love you though, Andrew.
Yeah,
you're great.
Thank you very much.
Best listener.
The subject is this. Is this the first email? And the answer is yes.
Yeah,
go so
Andrew.
He says, "Howdy, Canada's awesome podcast. I find your unedited style hilarious. Just finished listening to the latest podcast. Was surprised Hearthstone didn't get it mentioned, as I thought it was a great new game. Also, any chance of convincing John to be a guest podcaster? Cheers, Andrew."
So John's our housemate. Well, we have invited him a couple of times. It just tends to be the times that he's not home at the moment, actually.
His
house sitting.
Housemating. Housemating.
What is that? Some sort of weird husbandry program.
Yeah,
that's it. House, what? yeah, you make bungalows.
How do you think cities expand?
Sorry?
How do you think cities expand?
That's how houses come about.
Yeah, that's it. That's
mummy house and a daddy house.
Love each other very much or are very drunk.
I really hope our house never reaches that age because I don't want to be in a house that's
now
having
remember
sex.
Houses, always use a condominium.
Well done, Ben.
We'll have to get to... Oh, you sent the email 10 days ago. We should probably check that one.
Well, I mean, we only do it every...
We haven't done a podcast in the past.
That's true.
We really didn't expect
this
to ever happen.
No.
So, anyway, Hearthstone.
I think, actually, that's a good point.
That is a very good point.
I think Hearthstone's really solid. I love Magic the Gathering. I love Hearthstone.
Yeah. I personally burnt out on Hearthstone at about the same rate I burnt out on Magic the Gathering. Mm. I just think, like, I enjoy playing the core mechanic of the game and I enjoy it in a casual style. And I think a lot of people that play these kind of games really enjoy how cards work together and how the synergies work, but that's just not my cup of tea.
Yeah.
Too much theory crafting for me. Even though
compared to Magic the Gathering. For context, I was Magic Judge, level 1 Judge for a while.
So good.
Yeah. Yeah, comprehensive.
How many times did that get you laid, Pork?
Yeah, because that's why I'm a judge.
Hey, baby.
You
want to know about cleanup phase?
Yeah.
Untap. I keep draw.
I'd tap main that
phase.
For mana.
Yeah, I'd tap that.
What about my three main phases?
Yeah. Three?
Oh, there's more.
You scrub.
I'm sorry.
There's only three main
phases.
Judge.
This guy thinks there's three.
This guy's taking three main phases.
Let's all point and laugh at him. It's two main phases, you dingus.
Oh, I'm sorry. I plus one to my main phase. It was one of my trap cards.
Yeah, that's it. That's right. I think Hearthstone... that's a good point. I should have mentioned Hearthstone because I think it takes the card game formula and just streamlines it to such an amazing degree.
I also do like... I mean, I said I burned out on it pretty quickly, but... I mean, I burned out on it for slightly different reasons than I did Magic the Gathering. In Magic the Gathering, I really felt like the paywall came up really, really quickly. Like, to the point at which,
true.
In order to stay competitive with the people that I was playing against, I wasn't going to spend $400 on a deck of cards. That's
true.
Just not my cup of tea.
Yeah,
but I
was quite happy to play it casually, but when it came to things like going to pre-releases and stuff like that, I just couldn't justify that.
Yeah.
Drafting was good. You know,
drafting's fun.
That was definitely the most fun that I had.
Yeah, just sit around a kitchen table and play Magic for, I don't know, 3 or 4 hours and, you know, get some cards out of it at the end.
Yeah, but that's where Hearthstone picks stuff up. Definitely, because you don't... I mean, you can buy stuff, but you don't have to.
Yeah,
you don't have to.
In
use
fact,
money.
The you can the basic decks, like decks that you can build just from basic cards, you can get to legendary. Of course, you have to be really skilled, but there are people who are, you know, got to legendary just through basic cards.
That's pretty impressive.
Of course, with the mage, because the mage basic cards are broken. But
so we're basically saying that Paul Ock didn't think of it, which is why it didn't.
Oh yeah, yeah. The only reason I think it mentioned was I just slipped my mind because
I think it is like a fantastic example. It's probably the best digital card game that I've played, but. Mm.
Did it come out really early in the year?
I think that must have been.
No,
yeah.
it was released in beta, and we all got into the beta in 2013, but it was fully released in 2014, which is why it's a 2014 game. But I tend to go more for games with a bit of story, so I guess that's probably why I didn't put it up there with my top games of the year, which is not a knock against it. It's a great game, and its presentation is amazing, and...
It feels like all of the wax and the sound.
Yeah, I just don't get super into multiplayer games aside from fighting games.
Yeah.
So it's a great game. It's just not really my cup of tea.
Isn't the story of it just
WoW
lore?
It's just like the WoW characters in there. And I love looking at the art and stuff.
The idea of it is that because there are Hearthstone boards in WoW, right?
You see them all the time, and I just imagine that this is just like...
It's just
like
the game they are playing.
The lore for it is just...
But
it's just a card game that's
it.
I think it'd be difficult to put story into a card game unless you had story than a game.
Well, there is that Naxxramas, right?
They have Naxxramas. There's a raid now where you play through each of the wings and each of the bosses has a special mechanic. That was an amazing expansion. Like...
I've played card games that have had stories before. It can be done.
Okay.
Yeah,
I've heard some.
A lot of them are generally like on handheld games, like Yu-Gi-Oh games.
Yeah,
had stories.
The Pokemon card game, the Yu-Gi-Oh.
Yeah, the Pokemon card game was actually pretty good. Surprised they didn't update that at all. Although the Pokemon card game is pretty average.
You know, I had to build a card game for a university assignment.
Oh,
really?
Yep. It was. I didn't have to build a card game, but they said pick an audience and. Pick a topic and teach them. So we chose primary school aged children and biodiversity.
Biodiversity?
Yes.
Would you like to explain for the non-nerds?
It's where
something unpredictable. But in the end it's rye.
Yeah, whatever.
Rye
I'm getting
barley.
Smacked around.
it's just building a healthy ecosystem through lots of different kinds of stuff working together.
Just planting corn if Interstellar's anything.
Yeah, if Interstellar's...
By.
Well, they didn't just...
Everything else died.
They talk in the start of the movie about the last okra crop, and as far as I'm concerned, that's the best thing that probably ever happened to that planet, because okra's fucking disgusting.
I've never had it before.
It's like slightly slimy.
Yeah, it's like...
It is not the most chilly. Beautiful of...
It's like strangely furry on the outside, and then when you eat it, it's like gelatinous on the inside. It's not a pleasant food to eat.
I've heard it's right if you cook it properly, but...
I've never had it cooked properly. I hear the same thing about Brussels sprouts.
It's actually just a Galbana.
Steins Gate reference. It's all right.
Yeah.
Steins Gate. I just keep on thinking about Germans.
And we should also have John on.
We should have John on.
Yeah. We'll make an effort to get John involved.
He's,
more special guests.
He often a lot of the time we record on the weekends at points, and John works quite late, and when he gets home from doing retail work, which no one enjoys, he's not really in the mood to jump on and talk about random shit for 2 hours. But yeah, we will endeavour to get him on at some point. That's 100% something we should do when he's in the mood.
Yeah, yeah. Well, thank you very much for the email.
Yes.
It's how we measure our success. I said we wouldn't have officially had a listener until we had an
email.
So
now we officially have a
listener. We're officially a podcast. Beforehand, we were just like rambling.
Yeah.
All right, so considering that... We can now use this email as a review.
We have
100% 5-star review rating.
100% positive.
That's right.
Top of iTunes.
Best podcast.
If anyone else would like to give us a 5-star
rating. Oh, that's
right,
yes. If anyone else would like to be mentioned on the podcast, and we will talk about your email for at least 20 minutes, guaranteed, send it to podcast@itsallcanon.com.
Very good, very good.
Yeah.
What other news have we got this week? Well, something we alluded to.
We haven't really started.
Actually, I should respond to this email.
Well, we talked very briefly about some games that released on GOG.
Well, if we blast through this, then we can cover a few of the things Jonathan wanted to talk about.
Okay, sure.
Not a particularly big.
There's a bit of news this week, but I think a lot of it's going to go pretty quick. So, first of all, Grand Theft Auto 5 PC, which we've, at least a few of us all, have been looking forward to.
Waiting for that for a long time.
Delayed, was it not?
It was delayed compared to the next gen releases.
It can be purchased
on Steam for $60 American if you're American. $75 if you're Australian, which is equivalent to $72 to $91.
Yes. Okay, so this leads into, and maybe we'll have for John to discuss this a bit more, but the Australia tax.
The Australia tax, the nice beaches taxes.
Well, they've got to pay to ship all those bits over here on those bit boats.
Yeah.
So $15 more, and that's in US.
Mm.
So it is just $15 American more just to buy it here. Which I think
digital copy.
Now, if that was a new game, kind of justifiable. But this game's a year old.
Mm.
It was released early 2013, wasn't it? It's currently 2015. That's just not cricket.
It's like I was going to purchase it, but like just looking at those prices, that's not a good value proposition for me.
Like it's like $91 Australian.
Yeah. See, the problem that I have is that I've been waiting for this game for a long time, and I know it's going to be good because the PS4 release was better.
Yeah. Like I've heard, even coming from an amazing game, like it was a huge improvement.
But apparently they're improving it even more.
Really?
So this is going to be the PS4, but better.
And
so there's actually more content, and of course it's going to look incredible, and if it doesn't look incredible, it's just going to be modded until it looks incredible.
Exactly, like you've seen some of the mods
for
GTA 4.
Yeah,
4 looks
I've seen photos that don't look that good.
Yeah,
And we will, we'll be getting heists. Heists will be included when it does come out.
Yeah, they did the trailer for that, which looks pretty good, and it's going to do what Payday was meant to do, but better. Payday was terrible.
It had a really quick drop off. Everyone was mental over it, and then after 2 weeks, no one gave a.
Well, we did only try Payday 1, and I've heard Payday 2's a pretty big improvement over.
Okay,
Payday 2, I still don't enjoy it. The leveling up system is terrible. Like you level up, but that doesn't do anything. You need to get money from heists, but you need an extraordinary amount to get like new weapons and stuff, and it's just. Oh, it's just like a giant. You just have to play it so much before you actually get anywhere.
But yeah, I mean, well, there is of course the argument, there is the discussion to be had as to why do we pay more for games. But I think, like you said, Paul, it's probably because John works retail.
Yeah,
John works in video game retail, so maybe it's a good idea to try and have that conversation when he is. On the podcast at some point, because maybe he can shed some light to why we do pay extra, because it doesn't seem to really make sense.
No. I'll hide the knives.
Maybe it's because we call Americans Yanks.
Yeah, that's it. But
they Yank and all
it's
our
racism.
Money.
but
racism.
They use.
Is that racist?
No, Southern Americans hate it when you call
them
that.
They do. They absolutely hate
really
it.
Really hate it.
Yeah, because
the Yankees are the New Yorkers. They're like the Yankees are the Northerners.
I think it was also like it was a term given to. People that were on the
North,
the North during the Civil War. I don't know what Southerners called themselves.
The Southerners.
The Southerners.
The South.
Good old boys.
The Yanks and the Wanks.
Yeah. The Wanks. Don't go offending our Southern American brethren. I, for one, love bourbon.
Thank you. In more, how hath God blighted Australia? Hotline Miami 2 refused classification, which basically bans it from sale in Australia.
Yeah. Yeah. Why? What was the reasoning?
There has sexualized violence, an implied rape scene.
That our Lord and Savior, and completely fair and, you know, not at all, and completely consistent rating boards over here.
Ignoring the inconsistencies elsewhere, they've always been super hard on sexualized violence.
Yeah.
That's the one thing they've
just the Atlio series, you know, just bright and cheery, cute girls doing cute things and making. Potions in an RPG world.
Cute girls making cute potions.
One drunken shopkeeper who is also female gropes the female main characters whilst drunk, and suddenly it's rated R for sexualized violence.
I heard about it is that they were saying it's one part of the game taken incredibly out of context. It really feels like a let's cover our own butts kind of thing.
From what I've read, it is pretty high impact.
Oh, okay.
But that's
this is what
Hotline
I read,
but that's what Hotline Miami is.
Yeah.
I've actually
yeah.
got...
And at the same time, as, you know, an adult who, you know, pays his own bills, pays taxes, I feel like I should be able to decide for myself
so
what I, you know...
Yeah, what I consume.
Yeah.
There's a paragraph here which describes the scene, and I don't know if I should be doing this on the podcast. Is that...
What do you mean?
Describing
it, we're
what, ta- what the thing
we're tagged as explicit, because we can
yeah,
swear as much as we want.
Okay,
okay.
Yeah, go
yeah,
on.
Go on.
So it says, she is knocked to the floor, viewed lying face down in a pool of blood. The male character is viewed with his pants halfway down his ass. Then he's viewed pinning the female down by the arms and thrusting implicitly, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
Which sounds pretty hard.
Apparently, Denaton, who's the people that made this or published it?
No, Denaton made it.
Made it.
Devolver.
Devolver, that's the one.
Devolver Digital published it.
Apparently, that was taken, like, they actually said that's just wrong. That is taken way out of context. It is not nearly as bad as you're describing it there.
Mm.
But it is an implied rape scene. Like
they also mentioned.
Is this the player character or another character?
I think this is the. I'm not even sure. It just says the character, a male character.
Okay.
Because I mean that basically sounds like a scene from the first game where the player character would then walk in and you know suddenly the rapist brains are spread across the opposite wall.
Yeah, I was about to say, because he... Spoilers for Hotline Miami. He saves a prostitute from being, you know...
Who is then credited as girlfriend.
Well, she then lives at his apartment.
Yeah.
It's an upgrade.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah so... Well, and their response was quite interesting, because they're not going to try and... They're not a big publishing studio, obviously.
Yeah, they've come
gonna...
out and said that they're not going to be making any changes to it.
No, they said they're not going to be resubmitting for classification. They believe that the work stands by itself and they're not going to be censoring it.
Mm-hmm.
They also said, hey, Australians, if you want to play the game, just pirate.
Yep.
They literally said, just pirate.
Yep.
It's like a direct quote from one of the guys.
And if I can't get it through somewhere like Green Mountain Gaming or... somewhere where I can get it on Steam. Because it's illegal to sell here, but not illegal to own.
Yeah, as most of these things are, because it's completely impossible to enforce something like that.
So I'll grab it that way, and if not, then I'll just buy some official merchandise.
Yeah, no, it's a really good way to go about doing things.
There's no way I'm just going to steal this game and not pay them somehow.
Exactly.
This is like one of my favorite games of all time.
It's like a lot of things, you know, like YouTube people that we watch. I openly say that I do use Adblock, but those guys that I know are reliant on ad revenue, I buy something.
Yeah,
I'm supporting.
You can turn off Adblock for certain.
Oh yeah, I know you can. I know you can.
Yeah, I kicked in for the the Smart Guys Kickstarter because I love the Continue guys.
Mm-hmm.
Their stuff's hilarious, especially their sketch stuff. So if I can watch a whole show that they're doing, that's. That'd be great. I just wish it would come out.
Yeah. I would really like YouTube to add a thing that, say, I pay...
A tip jar.
Well, they are bringing the tip jar in, but I would just like something where I can pay, say, $10 a month and I don't have to see ads.
Patreon.
Yeah.
Just...
Yeah, but Patreon is not...
Patreon isn't affiliated with YouTube, but there's YouTube channels like Vardy Video who just uses his Patreon and just doesn't put ads on his YouTube. So he just says, if you guys want, if you guys want my channel without ads, and I get enough Patreon people, then my YouTube just won't have ads. But if there aren't enough Patreon people, then I'm gonna have to use ads.
Yeah, yeah. I've heard of a few people that do that. CCP Grey, who does like informational type pieces, has on YouTube uses something called Subbable, which is basically you know you like if you sub to him through that service, you pay like $5 a month. And I think as a result, I'm not sure, he may still have ads on his YouTube, but I think as a result it means he doesn't have to put ads on his YouTube account because he makes a living wage off the revenue from that, which is not bad at all. A few other guys, like there's a YouTube channel called Regular Car Reviews, which is basically just like comedy car reviews, and they basically said, hey, if you want us to keep going, we can't really afford to keep doing this off our own dime. Please donate some money. And they had a $5,000 goal, and I think they made about $20,000 in the end, which is really good. And they weren't even offering like perks. or stuff like that.
Just support us,
if you would like to, please give us some money. If you enjoyed us, please give us some money. So that was really good. It allowed them to do a little bit of a tour around America, looking at people's shitty cars and reviewing them in a lewd and crude way. It's quite pleasant.
Fucking fanging it, eh?
Fucking fanging it, mate. Jack is a tinny. So what is a Junketsu no Maria, Ben?
Junketsu no Maria is an anime. It basically translates to the Virgin Maria, or
you'll
Maria the Pure.
Junketsu is the name of Satsuki's kama in...
Purity. Gotcha.
It's like purity, chastity, virginity kind of thing.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
gotcha.
It's about a witch. It's set in the real world during, I forget if it's the War of the Roses or the Hundred Years' War. And it's about this pacifist witch who masquerades as an old crone but is actually a young girl, and I picked this up expecting it to be a bit saucy and
you're
a complete fan service.
You're not describing her magical powers. So
that hasn't actually been touched on. I'm not sure if the virginity is part and parcel
of
that.
So from what I've read, right? She loses her magical powers if she has sex.
They haven't mentioned that at all,
right.
At least
yeah.
in the first episode.
So it's
episode.
Like the tale goes on the internet that if you can stay
virgin
for
a year,
you become a
wizard.
Then
you become
a wizard.
Yeah, so... the character designs are all really good. It's got a sort of early 90s feel about it, sort of almost late 80s. It definitely doesn't look like the MoBlob stuff we see today.
Chaon.
Moeb.
Yeah.
Is it a term?
MoBlob is a term.
Just like
funny.
Completely meaningless, cute
girls. Cutesy stuff.
Yeah.
Cute
and completely
the
devoid of content.
Mm-hmm. The animation is really good. It's Production IG, I believe. And there is definitely a bit of sauciness to it, but there's something there as well for people who want a bit of storyline. And it looks like it's going to go somewhere. There's a bit of humor, some of which is crude, some of which is not.
Yeah, I'll have to.
And the guy who seems like he's going to be the love interest, his name is Joseph. So like that's just a little on the nose.
Mm.
That's my only complaint. Mm. But I'm enjoying it so far. I'm definitely going to keep watching it.
So the next sort of four or five items appear to be very
these are all from the Nintendo Direct.
Yeah,
so
Nintendo Direct.
Given I know who, Ben, I'm assuming you put those.
No, I put all these on here because someone said, we want news. I'm like, I just watched the Nintendo
that's
Direct.
That's fine. Lead us through it. Lead us through it.
Okay, so I'm definitely the best person for this next headline. Bunch of new amiibos.
Yeah.
So they've announced a Series 4. Of Smash Brothers amiibos with more characters from Smash, and they've announced a new series that they're going to branch out into for Mario Party 10. They're doing a new range of Mario amiibos, so
mm-hmm.
Mario, Luigi, Peach, Bowser,
mm-hmm.
Toad. So plenty more of those, all on pre-order already.
Oh, boy. Christ almighty, mate,
it's alright, I got the money. Well, I had the money.
I've got the money now.
I wonder how much... Oh God, Nintendo...
More than I have spent on the Wii U.
Yeah, figured out how to print fucking gold with these things.
Yeah, well, if they could keep them in stock.
So these amiibo things, they're not... They have compatibility with other games,
they have
yes?
compatibility with certain games.
With certain games. Is it true what I heard? I read somewhere that... You can only have data stored on an amiibo for one game.
They only
at a
have
time.
Enough space on them for data storage of one game.
That's shit. That's
yeah.
bullshit. That's shit. That's just shit. It's really shit.
Ah, it's like spoiler shit.
Well,
so,
you see, the games that amiibos work in both of them, so Smash and Mario Party,
mm-hmm.
there are now a set for Smash and a set for Mario Party, so you can spend more money have data for both.
Mm.
Right.
Alternatively, you could do what I'm going to do
and
still buy both, but not buy Mario Party. Fuck that game.
You know, you love Mario Party, Ben, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I love Mario Party like I love my genitals on fire.
A lot?
It's weird, man.
Not that. But more interesting than the new amiibos, they've announced compatibility with new games. So they have said in the past Captain Toad Treasure Tracker is going to be compatible with amiibos. They've finally announced what that compatibility is going to be. And everyone was super happy to find out that it is only compatible with the Toad Amiibo, which is not yet out.
Yep.
Captain Toad Treasure Tracker is out.
Yeah.
Toad Amiibo is not out for a good couple of months yet. So after the point at which no one cares about that game anymore, it's going to have Amiibo compatibility, which seems to be something of a theme. And what it's going to do is when you use the Toad Amiibo, it's going to hide little 8-bit sprites of Toad in the levels for you to find.
Is that a good or a bad thing? I've not played Captain Toad
Captain Toad Treasure Tracker, it's like a puzzle game. So I guess that's one more puzzle that they can add to. I don't know if it's going to be every level or just some levels.
Have you
but
played that?
I haven't played it, no. I played some of the levels. It's based on a mini game in Super Mario 3D World.
You know, like the isometric levels that rotate?
Looks kind of Minecrafty.
Nah.
You might know it if you saw
it. Well, anyway, they did a few of those as like little, almost bonus stages, just to add a bit of variety to Mario 3D World. And people loved them, so they said, well, why don't we just make a whole game that's just this? And they did. And it's reviewed pretty well.
Was it DS or...?
No, it's Wii U.
Oh, it's Wii U.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's rotatey stuff. So it's kind of fez-ish, I guess?
No, not really. It's like a cube world. Like really small, just chunks.
Okay.
With obstacles around them. So it's a small
area. The rotation
area.
Isn't a gameplay element. It's just
And you sort of spin the camera around this area and you've got to find stars and coins and it gets the end of the level.
Okay.
But like the core mechanic is that you can't jump, so you've got to avoid all these obstacles and things as Toad. You can't jump over them, so it's a good bit of fun. Don't think the Amiibo support is going to shift too many extra copies.
Nice meme.
One thing that I do think Amiibos are definitely going to help, Project Steam, which is a game close to my heart. You play as
it's on the 3DS, yeah.
It's a 3DS tactical RPG made by Intelligent Systems. And you might be able to see my boner rising with each clause of this sentence.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I can see it. I can see it. Oh, that's one of his testicles as well.
It's
pushing the table on.
It's a cyberpunk story starring Abraham Lincoln.
His boner is touching the roof right now.
And because it's made by Intelligent Systems, the Amiibos it supports are the Fire Emblem Amiibos.
Of course.
Who, when you use them, become playable characters.
Oh,
so that's actually a really cool use of it. I think I wasn't on the fence for this. I was going to pick it up anyway, but now I really want to get it.
So have Nintendo essentially invented physical DLC?
That is exactly what these are.
That's really clever.
Yeah. After Skylanders, of course.
Yeah, like they don't necessarily work with everything, but you buy it once and you can use it on a bunch of games to unlock a bunch of different things. Mm. Like there's it's not available here yet, but there's a One Piece game on the 3DS which when Amiibo support is patched into the software for that, is going to unlock Nintendo themed costumes for all the characters.
Yeah.
And things like Hyrule Warriors unlocking new weapons, and you can use the non-Zelda characters to unlock rewards in that every day.
Goodness
like
gracious.
It's not just Smash and Mario Party. Like they're doing some interesting things with
it. Is it worth $16 a pop?
I like the models. In terms of the DLC, on the fence, but no, I do like them. Like I've loved Nintendo for the longest time, and a lot of the characters in the Amiibo range, aside from this, were never going to get any merch. Like Little Mac, Captain Falcon,
Samus.
Kit. Samus gets a decent bit of stuff. There's the
No games.
Although,
sorry if I've blown out your levels.
That does bring me on to another point that is perhaps not the next one on the list, but it's a good segue. Even better for having mentioned it. Nintendo have announced that they're going to be bringing some of the Wii's titles to the Nintendo eShop.
No. Which eShop? Because all of them are different.
The Nintendo Wii U.
Oh, okay.
Because obviously
they're
not coming to the 3DS.
I was going to say, so on the Wii shop, the Wii shop is different to the Wii U shop, which is different to the DS
shop,
which is different to the 3DS shop.
And they're all different in every country, yes?
Something like that. But
like released games like GBA games or DS games or, you know, NES games that they've released on one platform might not be on the other one for some reason. Like, you've already ported it across. These are your games. Just release them. Anyway,
so they've announced a couple of games coming to the eShop for digital purchase. We've got Mario Galaxy, or it might be Mario Galaxy 2. I can't quite remember. It's a fantastic game. Punch-Out, which I never played the Wii version of, but it looks great.
Yeah.
And it pulls off the amazing feat that the main theme for that is even better than the original main Punch-Out musical theme. So I think I'm going to pick that up. But the one that's come out of left field is a real surprise. Metroid Prime Trilogy, which was originally printed in pretty limited numbers for the Wii, is coming out as a digital download. So that scarcity and that second-hand market, which is pretty big on eBay from what I've seen. That's going to get released. I'm not sure what the price is going to be over here, but it's been announced that it's going to be $10 US. All three Metroid Prime games.
Now,
that's fantastic value.
I would pay another $50 for just Metroid Prime.
I think Metroid Prime is a fantastic game. Two is kind of rocky, but I really enjoyed three.
Okay, I didn't play two or three.
For that money, even if it's twice that over here, which I'm sure it will be.
But $20 bucks for even, you know.
For one of those games,
yeah,
would be a steal.
Yeah,
but to
absolutely
get all three, like, if you haven't played them, you have no excuse now, unless you don't have a Wii U, in which case you have a perfectly good excuse.
You should purchase it anyway.
I don't know.
Ben once bought... what did you buy?
I did buy the Wii U for Bayonetta 2.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Didn't you once buy... You bought...
I bought Ocarina of Time before I had an N64.
Yeah, before you had an N64.
Could you blame me?
Gotta get that gold cartridge, man.
Speaking of Zelda...
Mm-hmm.
There's Majora's Mask DLC for Hyrule Warriors.
Oh, yeah. Segues.
Yep.
There's another easy segue as well.
We love segues around here. I've bought the essentially season pass. I forget what they call it. It's got some Zelda themed name, so I'll obviously be getting that. Got a couple of characters that were a bit of a surprise. I think everyone thought the Skull Kid was going to be one of them.
Yeah,
we were all
that seems like a shoo-in.
The second
right?
one was. Turns out no. Skull Kid is instead a costume for Lana.
Yeah, it's
because
great.
Lana needs more costumes because she is best character Donut Steel. Instead, not that I'm super disappointed, we get Tingle.
Yeah, oh, that's great.
Which everyone said in jest.
Yeah. No one's expecting
that. But turned out
to
be completely true. So that's going to be great.
And no one was disappointed.
And the other character we get, which again is a bit of a surprise, is Kid Link. We get Link from Majora's Mask, which you might think, well, that's a bit of a cop out, just like in Smash Bros. Melee. But instead of being the exact same character, he's going to be using masks to attack. So a lot of the transformation stuff from Majora's Mask, which I think
which
is going to be really
terrifying.
Interesting.
Have you seen the transformation sequence?
Yeah, they showed off a short...
And when he puts on the Deku Scrub mask
and
he
starts
screams.
Screaming. Like,
yeah, in the,
when
in
he
the
does
preview,
the Goron and
the preview
Zelda
trailer, they showed his move, so his like full super attack, where he puts on the Fierce Deity's mask and just goes ballistic with the sword, so... I think he's going to be a really interesting character to play as. It might cause me to pick the game up again because I have put it down for a little while.
It's an easy segue into the next one. Majora's Mask is coming out in February for the 3DS.
Holy shit, I wasn't expecting that soon.
Yeah, no, it was like, it comes out same day as Monster Hunter 4.
I know. Like,
I will
there
pick
go,
up
there goes, there goes my paycheck for that week.
Yeah.
So are they changing anything about Majora's Mask?
Oh yeah,
they...
they'll be redoing all the like the textures
graphics.
And
oh nice.
But they're also making it easier to play in terms
from
of
from what I've seen, it looks like an even bigger improvement than Ocarina of Time for 3DS, which was a pretty big improvement.
Because Majora's Mask is really dark compared to
which
Ocarina
is,
of Time.
I think is fine.
It's
which
Tim
is great.
Yeah. Legend of Zelda.
Yeah.
It's great. But it was kind of rough in terms of the
I found it
the 3-day time scale and a lot of the side quests are kind of weird to get to
and you have to be in the right place at the right time,
so
a lot of it like is you kind of need an FAQ for.
Yeah,
I mean, I played this game when I was in high school, so
yeah.
I mean, I didn't, and it was one of the
did
early.
Did you call Sean up as often as I did to try
yeah
and
I called our
good
mate Sean
next.
Up several times because this is before we had internet. So we couldn't go on game FAQs or whatever the heck was around at the time.
I think it was still game FAQs.
Oh, okay, right. It was I found it really difficult to know where to go to next.
Yeah,
not even just the mask stuff, but simple stuff as like unlocking the next dungeon.
That's what I mean in some cases. Yeah, like you just had to run around until you found somewhere that you could get to.
They said they want to keep the core Majora's Mask feel and keep everything, you know, basically the same, but just streamline a lot of the weird quirks.
Mm.
So I'll definitely be picking that up, and I think the next game I play after Virtue's Last Reward will probably be Ocarina of Time in preparation of Majora's Mask.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So the last major bit of news out of Nintendo Direct, which should have been the last bit of news they showed, because it was definitely one of the most exciting bits that they showed. They've announced a new Fire Emblem game.
Mm, and I've never really played them, but I love tactical RPGs, so maybe it's time to play them.
Coming off the back of the last one, which could have been the last game in the series, Fire Emblem Awakening. They made a lot of concessions to make it a little more mainstream. Definitely cut down a lot of the hardcore
features, like the permanent death,
in the hopes of making it more accessible to a wider audience. And boy, did they succeed, because that game sold like hotcakes.
Mm.
So it's good to see that it got the sales that they wanted, and it's allowed that series to keep going.
What did they have to Advance Wars?
That's an excellent question.
I'll tell you what happened to Advance Wars.
Yeah,
did you play that last one?
Yeah, I played the last one. Like
they tried to make it grimdark.
It went terribly.
Yeah. And then it died.
Yeah, which is a shame, because I love Advance Wars.
Mm. Even Battalion Wars was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I like the game. I felt the characters had a little
They're very two-dimensional, but, you know, you don't play it
sometimes
really
that's
characters.
Fun.
Oh, I'm about to... There's one guy, it's like, oh, I'm about to go into battle. Time to make my playlist.
Yeah.
It's like, shut up, kid. You're in a war.
It's like Disgaea. One-dimensional characters.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's great.
Yeah, but I really like Etna. Etna's not one-dimensional. Lahala is. Well,
Etna is not one-dimensional in the first game. In every other appearance, she is completely one-dimensional.
Yeah. Anyway, we're not going to get into Disgaea.
No, it's not getting
Disgaea.
Disgaea
5
is
coming out.
Because I knew you guys could talk about it for a long time.
I was tossing up whether to buy Disgaea D2 or JoJo at JB Hi-Fi. I think I might have made the wrong decision. At least I'll play JoJo.
Yeah.
So Steam Broadcasting is like straight up come out.
Kind of better. Has anyone used it?
No, I've not used it, but that seemed to be very...
We come in Australia. I mean, it just doesn't work.
You haven't got the code.
No.
I haven't got the internet.
Maybe we'll get it once the NVIDIA is installed.
Yeah, we are getting that.
Can't
in a couple
wait for
of weeks.
That.
That'll be very exciting. But that came out.
It
seemed
out,
beta.
It came out incredibly quickly. It was like released in beta for like 3 weeks or something.
Yeah.
And I was like,
it's been a few months.
Really?
Yeah, it's been definitely
been
like...
But we discussed it in like podcast 4 or 3 or something, didn't we?
It hasn't been out for that long at all. Maybe a month or so. And
no,
then it's
been more than a month.
I don't think
I'm
been that long.
Five.
Anywho,
anyway,
it seems very quickly for something to come out of beta.
Yeah, and then it just goes straight out of beta, and now it's just like out, and it works. I mean, it works, so that's fine. But I mean, it's just like, why Steam? Why?
Why does this exist?
Why are you incorporating Steam Broadcasting? Why not let Twitch do that? Because that's all Twitch does. It just seems like... It seems trying to sort of...
To send a second.
Send a second?
Yeah. 2014.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, a bit over a month then.
Nearly two. Because it's the end of January.
It's the middle of January.
It's like the
23rd.
It's literally written right there.
Yes.
Okay, so it's towards the back.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll give you that one.
All right.
I'll pay you that one.
It's not important.
No, it's not important. Let's just argue the
date,
shall we? We'll be like old people and argue about when things happened and never tell the actual story.
Yeah.
I was wearing one onion on my belt.
As was the style of the time.
Okay, so
Elder Scrolls Online.
Oh, that's what ESO stands for.
Yeah, it comes out of free to play, shocking literally no one.
It didn't go free to play, it went buy to play.
Oh,
the Guild Wars model.
Yeah.
Guild Wars, yeah. And also apparently, I don't know if this is true or not, but apparently it was kind of an underhanded kind of War Z style
No. We'll re-release it under a new name, so maybe we'll just get a new audience. People think it's a different game.
Well, one, there's that, and two, it means they get new reviews. So,
yeah, it'll show up differently on Metacritic.
Marvel Heroes
got re-released as Marvel Heroes 2014.
Yeah. And to be fair, it is a much better game.
Oh, absolutely. It's worlds away from where it was at release.
So that maybe I'll get some new reviews.
The only experience that I have with re-releasing the same game under different names with War Z and Infestation Survivor Stories.
That was absolutely one.
And to get away from that publicity.
This might be the same thing. Yeah.
And that's what I think this is. I think they're just trying
but
to...
They never had that... It was just like, this game is average.
It was bad. It was
the thing is, anyone who knows those games by the name Elder Scrolls is going to know Tamriel. And anyone who knows Tamriel is going to know that game's Poison anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Was that a little harsh? Because it deserves it.
Ooh...
It just seemed like the game was going to go free to play, and then it's just, I don't know. It seems kind of underhanded to re-release it under a different name.
Yeah. Well, the next bit on the docket seems to lead into, if we wanted to have a couple of discussion questions, like this seems like a...
There's one other last little bit of news I'd like to cover. I'm not going to talk about space stuff this week, because it's not too exciting. I was just looking for news, but like Moop, the leader slash creator,
founder
of 4chan... Yeah. Has stepped down as a president, leader,
and
omnipotent deity, whatever he calls himself.
I think it's fair.
Which is fine.
And the link that whoever put this in the document used didn't link to 4chan or Moot's like personal blog. They linked to abc.net.
Yeah. Because that's where I saw the piece of news. What the funniest thing was? Like, ABC, which is the Australian Broadcasting Corporation, it's ever so slightly left-wingy, but fairly reasonably balanced, sort of quite straight-laced kind of news. I got Rickrolled whilst I was reading the article. I got Rickrolled.
Nice.
Yeah. And it was...
I think they should have, like, gone all the way back and duck-rolled you.
Now that's taking me back.
But, yeah, apparently, I didn't realise this, like... 4chan is obviously massively popular. Like, I've never really been on it myself, but it's pretty popular. That fellow apart from donations, was pretty much running that thing off his own pocket.
Yeah.
Like, out of his own pocket.
It's stabilised a bit more now, but for, you know, huge number of years, it was just, you know, and donations as well, but, you know.
And it's attracting over 200 terabytes worth of traffic every month, which is no small amount of server costs.
No. I think that it's financially stable now, but
never
used to be.
God knows how.
Yeah. Ads—they sell a lot.
There's ads. Okay. And there's.
There is advertising.
There is a premium.
There's some kind of 4chan pass. I think it's called.
So like Reddit Gold.
Kind of like the way 4chan works now, and it never used to be the case, is that you like have to put in a captcha to post. So I think that removes the captcha.
Right.
And there are some other benefits.
Other little perks as well. Okay, that's interesting.
Interesting.
But yeah, I mean, that dude made it when he was 15. He's like 27 now, so it's like, it's been going for like 12-ish years. So
yeah,
it's pretty impressive to run something of that size for that long, especially through the let's say the stained history that it's kind of had as well.
The name that will always be attached to 4chan will be Moot, and not the name he's putting on his resume.
Yeah. Very true.
I'm not even sure if the name that he uses is his real name.
Christopher Poole.
Yeah. Because there are like a ton of 4chan references there, and I'm not sure entirely if that's true.
Right.
Pool's closed.
Well, Pool's closed, and the initials clearly.
Oh, yes. There was the Sonic Chew thing. Wasn't the main character in that called Chris? That was a 4chan thing.
Chris Chan, he's a real person.
Yeah, but wasn't that... Oh, okay, I thought that might have been where Christopher came from. Wasn't that a 4chan thing to begin with or something like that?
It wasn't
that,
a 4chan
or,
thing. I mean, they picked up
found,
on it.
They
found
picked
it.
Up on it.
It's a great comic. You should read it.
No. So, that's pretty much... Well, that's the news that we've got.
Sure, yeah. I have a couple of questions. So there's the one that's on the docket already, but... Do we want to go off? John's got a big list of questions here.
There's one question in particular that I'd like to get you guys' opinions on.
Sure.
All right. Well,
let's leave with that.
We'll do this first one here that's still on the docket. Some people have posed that 2015 is the year of no pre-sales, which pre-ordering, same thing.
Yeah, pre-ordering.
What do we think of that? Pros and cons. Does this lead to into terrible state, at least in 2014, of early access games? So this has come out of, from what I understand, the PC Master Gaming subreddit.
It came out of the games subreddit,
yeah.
I think. So a lot of people have been suggesting the idea that given the nature of pre-sales these days, it's sort of disincentivizes...
So talking about pre-ordering or pre-ordering plus like green light?
They're talking about pre-ordering.
Oh, okay.
Specifically.
Yeah.
But I think the discussion about greenlit games and early access games is an interesting one as well.
Yeah.
But in this case, they're sort of saying, does the fact that publishers or game developers rely so much on pre-sales from very popular titles these days, does it disincentivize them to actually deliver a decent product at the end? Should you only really go in and buy the game once the product has been delivered well?
I think the thing with a lot of us is that we don't play mainstream games. Not really.
No. I mean, I do, but I play them like 2 years late. So.
Yeah. Which I don't think counts in this situation.
No, it definitely doesn't count in this situation.
At least Ben and I tend to, pre-order stuff when we know that it's solid. So, like with the Grisaia coming out, the Grisaia trilogy, which is not technically a game, but I'll allow it here.
I want to read more of that.
Yeah, so we already know that it's solid quality, and we know that
it might be the best visual novel I've ever read.
Yeah, and we know that they do good work. Therefore, they're not trying to fleece us out of their money. They need this money in order to keep doing stuff. Whereas something like Activision or EA, having they're completely loaded. They don't need the money.
Yeah,
they're just trying to get your sales to kind of cushion any issues that they've got
in terms of
sales, and they're trying to use kind of scummy, hey, here's some content that you just can't get anywhere else
unless you pre-order,
and the pre-ordering, the content you can only get from this retailer or this retailer,
which apparently has happened with Evolve now, which I'm a bit
I've heard Evolve has been
about.
Really scummy in terms of the amount that you're paying for all the extra DLC.
Strangely seems to be if you'll excuse the term, evolving into more of a pay-to-win type game at the moment, it seems a little bit. I mean, maybe I'm being overly critical.
It just seemed, from at least Evolve, it was the, and this is American price, I don't know what it is here, but it was like $60 American plus another $60 for like two extra monsters.
Yeah, or pre-order.
I think each of the monsters is $15, and then it's like $30 for a season pass, which has two extra classes and some skins.
Mm. And there's one monster you can only get by pre-ordering or something like that. Yeah.
Content that you just can't get at all without pre-ordering is just terrible.
Is this the one where you're like a monster against like four?
Yeah. It's like asynchronous multiplayer.
That game looked like a bunch of fun because I like playing online games.
Yeah.
I was like I'll see if I can pick this up with a few friends. And the price tag, at least when
I first saw it on Steam,
$70 or $80.
First time I saw it
on Steam, it was $80.
Yeah.
And I was like, there's no way I'm paying that for a game like. You're like, you're left dead, but you play it like a few times, and you're like, I'm done with it now, because we'll play it.
I'll pick it up at,
just
$20,
$30. Just get that sharp game instead.
No. I actually have depth, and that is terrifying. I didn't have a phobia of sharks before, and I do now.
Sharks are
mostly harmless.
Didn't they close off a whole lot of beaches up in Sydney or Gold Coast earlier
on
the week?
Better to be safe than sorry with that many people.
5 meter great white hang around or something.
But for the most part, sharks aren't going to hurt you.
Probably not. Apparently, they don't like the taste of this.
Think
not that delicious.
Yeah, but when the sea is that packed, you got to eat. Don't get through the water.
Don't eat me. I'm not tasty. I'm not tasty at all.
Yeah, I don't know. Pre-orders, like, the only times I'll really pre-order is when something is going to be in limited quantities.
Mm.
Like, if I really want a collector's edition of something, or if there's a really niche game that, I'm not confident that the local retailers are actually going to get in.
Yeah.
I'll pre-order it. Or things like Amiibos, where, if you want to get all of them by walking into a shop and buying them, you're basically fucked. You're up shit creek.
Nintendo!
So I put all those on pre-order now.
Mm.
What about with Resident Evil 1 then? Because the re-release of that came out...
Okay,
like,
yeah, that's another one.
I
did pre-purchase that.
And you got, there was some extra stuff you got for pre-purchasing that, didn't you?
I think there was some stuff that they threw in. I can't really remember, but it wouldn't be the first time Capcom have done it. They put up Resident Evil Revelations, and I think pre-purchasing that when they released the PC HD version got you a copy of Lost Planet. But the reason I was so willing to put money down for that is I've played that game on the Wii, and it's brilliant. It's an amazing game, and like I, even if it wasn't a great port, it's still a great experience that I'm gonna be happy to play again in HD.
See, the problem that I have with pre-purchasing games is that if like you can see the game, you can normally see gameplay before you pre-purchase it.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem I have is that what if it doesn't run well on your computer, or what if it's like not compatible with your graphics card and it just runs like balls? Like I forget the name of the game. Maybe it was Far Cry 4 or something.
Yeah,
like that game ran like absolute ass on my computer.
But you're still gonna have that problem regardless of whether or not you pre-order.
And like
yeah, I didn't pre-order that.
Certainly
yeah,
in Resident Evil 1's regard, that's not really going to be an issue because it is just an up-resing of a GameCube game.
Yeah.
With pre-rendered backgrounds, so performance really isn't going to come into it unless they make a huge. Yeah.
Oh,
but no, but because they've used pre-rendered, like
it's
these are fully
feel.
HD pre-rendered assets with models that, like it's got the basic area modeled so that you can cast shadows onto the walls. It looks
yeah.
amazing. Like seriously,
I
check it out.
I did have a look at the giant bomb. Quick look or whatever it's called,
yeah.
And the game did look like
there is a stigma against pre-rendered backgrounds, but I think this game shows that it is still absolutely a way that you can do things, and because they did it that way, not so much now, but certainly back on the GameCube, they were put so much in terms of extra polygons into the character models, so they looked so much better than anything else on the phone.
Yeah, see, I thought the original reason they did use the pre-rendered backgrounds is just because they literally couldn't render a full 3D.
Oh, well, like back
yeah.
back in the original Resident Evil
yeah.
on PS1, no way could they have. Well, I suppose they did when they got to Dino Crisis, but by then they'd learned the hardware. But
I think we're getting a little far away from
into the history of survival.
Yeah, yeah. So more. How does that lead into early access games?
Well, I mean,
because it's not really pre-ordering.
No, it's not really pre-ordering, but I feel like
it's kind of
we got given. So
I think Greenlight and early access are
yeah,
a complete mess.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I feel we were initially quite spoiled with early access gaming, but those were because they were.
Program was the best example I can think of.
Well, that and I mean even
Minecraft,
for example. These
Minecraft
are,
was the first big one. I mean,
yeah.
really.
These are games that basically came to be what they were, but on the backbone of what
yeah.
they already were,
yeah.
I guess. It was just, they just got fleshed out as they went through their development cycle. We already got a solid backbone of a game. Whereas with a lot of the early access stuff you get these days, all the stuff that's on Greenlight, it's a piece of turd. They offer a promise that they never deliver on. Well,
it's
a lot
not,
of cases never seem to deliver
it's
on.
It's not that. Yeah, the problem is that they're not even like content complete, and it's not a game that you would be willing to buy and go, okay, this is fine. If it keeps getting developed, that's good too. Right?
Yeah.
So you could buy Kerbal Space Program when it was first released, and
yeah.
you'd be like, okay, this is fine.
Yeah.
Well, you buy Minecraft when it was first released, and you'd be like, wow, this is fine.
Yeah.
And I'm really happy that it's still being developed.
Mm-hmm.
But it's more like, hey, we're still making this game. It's not remotely content complete.
Mm-hmm.
It is not a game.
Mm.
As such,
mm.
pay us money. It's like kind of like a pseudo Kickstarter, really.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
developers have just walked away from their product.
The problem I have is that the first like option, like I'd be perfectly fine if you like sort of you bought into the early access and then you wait a time until there's a proper stable release for it. Because a lot of the times when you get into the early access stuff, it's just clearly not meant to be
no.
played at all. It's
and
like not optimized at all.
I think it should
it,
not be. You can't. Shouldn't be in early access if you can't. You know. Prove
yeah.
There's
I,
a game
I
there.
Think the only things that I played in early access that did work well were, as I said before, Minecraft and when I got the early access on Mercenary Kings, which I can't remember if they were
Mercenary
selling
Kings
that as
was
early
actually
access,
pretty good, yeah.
but I got that
I
as
think
part
that
of
was
the
early
Kickstarter.
Access. Because I got that.
But that
but
again,
the,
again,
the,
that was
the
a game.
The
to
game was
with.
Like system complete. And the only thing that they were adding over the updates were more and more missions, and
yeah,
I think that's probably how
content.
It should really be done. Not
yeah.
just like we ship this
and then
half
we
done thing, and we're finishing the engine as we go,
yeah.
and then the content comes after that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
see, after a few backstabs from early access, I've just completely been turned off of it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like,
I'm
now incredibly cautious about
unless,
picking anything up
unless
without access.
It's very clear that, you know, it is worth doing.
Yeah.
So if someone recommended Kerbal Space Program to me,
I recommend Kerbal Space Program.
You know what I mean? Like,
but we don't trust you.
Yeah.
Oh.
But you know what I mean. So everyone's saying, "Hey, this early access game is actually pretty good." I'll let everyone else test the water first, see if they get eaten by sharks.
And
if they don't,
you
know, you
have to be willing to say, "All right, this is $15. I'm willing to pay $15
like
for what this is now.
Exactly.
This might be all I get."
Yeah.
And it's like with Kickstarter, right? Kickstarter is not a pre-ordering service, no matter how much people treat it like one.
Mm.
It's not an investment. It's a, you might get this.
Yeah.
Like, we can promise that you'll get this, but, you know, Kickstarter being Kickstarter, it might not happen.
Yeah,
I've put
money into failed Kickstarters and seen nothing out of them.
Mm.
And, you know, but Kickstarter's good in the same way because it's like, well, here are these crazy products that you can have a say in, you know, does this actually have a chance of existing? Some people might try really out there stuff, but you might just lose your money.
Yeah.
And
still waiting on Barclay too.
Is that still being developed?
Yes.
Okay.
The problem,
but that's the same thing with Greenlight. It's like, well, early access. It's like, well, am I willing to lose this money if this doesn't get completed?
Yeah, it's very true. I mean, and another argument against that sort of stuff is, I'm not the sort of guy that really goes back to games a lot. Like, I will play a game when I get it, and then I'll play that game, and then I'll be done with that game.
Yeah.
And with early access kind of stuff, it's kind of like, oh, I got early access to this game. I've played it. That's the experience I've had with this game. I'm not going to come back to it once they've added more shit.
Funnily enough, that's what happened with Terraria. When I first got Terraria, I played that for like 30 hours.
Mm.
And I haven't really come back to it. I mean, I want to come back to it. And I think at the moment it's stopped development or...
Yep.
Slowed. They stopped and then they came back. Yeah,
they stopped and then they came back. They're releasing
anyway. But there was a huge amount of content added, and I will come back to it. But it's more like, well, I just want to wait until it's
Just try. I definitely recommend getting back into
that. Oh yeah, yeah.
It's
also server
really fun.
But that absolutely felt like a complete game.
Oh,
at the same time,
absolutely. Terraria was a complete game, and then they went above and beyond, and it's kind of the same with Starbound. Where was it? Starbound.
Yeah. Starbound is the
Starbound. I got it. Actually, that's one game I do have in early access, I think. Anyway,
it's like my theory
it's
on
really
DLC.
Good. Yeah.
Like DLC should be like
a pleasant surprise.
I enjoyed this cake. I would like another slice of this cake.
Yeah.
It's
not like this is half a cake, and I feel like
I have like the sponge.
Yeah.
Can you please give me the cream?
Or do you have to pay for the cream?
And I will only have one slice.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a really good analogy, actually.
Yeah.
That's a really good analogy. So did you have something... I mean, unless anyone else has got any other
points...
There
was
points
one... I maybe
like
have time for one question.
Yeah, sure.
Jonathan,
you said you had something.
There was one question. I assume it probably won't last that long, so maybe we can get through two. But what is the best ass in gaming?
Right, way to bring the...
Now, Bayonetta is cheating.
Oh,
but
you fuck.
But my answer,
yeah,
I hope
you'll
enjoy this, is Snake from Metal Gear Solid 4.
That's a good pick.
When you do that slow prone and you just slowly grind on the ground, things to my loins I didn't think were possible.
I think Metal Gear Solid 4 all round is a good choice with the
beautiful butts.
Yeah.
Mm. Mm.
Yeah, Kojima has a real thing.
He's an
ass
man.
Butts. Raiden from Mega Sov 2.
Meryl with no pants on.
Yeah, that's
that
true.
Was a bit blocky though.
Yeah.
But less
stuff
to
the imagination. Less stuff to the imagination.
Exactly.
The
Bus and Gabby.
When we were still in primary school, it was
good enough. It was high school for me, but I bloomed a little later as a gamer. But I don't know. Cortana's ass is pretty good in the later Halo games.
Oh, Miranda.
That's a good one.
Miranda from Mass Effect.
Yeah, a bit of a butterface, though.
Yeah, but we're not talking about the face, right?
I mean, she's only like 9 out of 10 supermodel.
Does it get your mass erect?
Funnily enough, that's the Mass Effect porn subreddit.
It's either going to be that or Ass Effect.
Ass Effect.
Garen. Gotta have that Garen booty.
Garen or Garrus?
Garrus.
Garen is a different character entirely. He's a little too clad in armor to have an ass.
Yes.
Nah, it's all about Rex.
I know. He's got a nice dance.
Yeah.
With that Rex ass.
Yeah. If I'm not allowed to pick Bayonetta, because we all knew that was going to be my...
It was the most obvious answer.
Yeah. I got to go with Samus.
Yeah.
Samus,
in what?
That's a good one. Zero Suit Samus.
Yeah, which Zero Suit Samus?
Zero Mission. I have a save state of that screen
where you first get the final screen,
Zero Suit.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Just in case.
Yeah. Just in case.
In case of what?
In case of Zero Suit Samus emergency.
Yeah, in case of Zero Suit Samus emergency. That ass is fantastic.
That's pretty funny.
Ass was fat.
The ass was.
It was a little bit of bubble
fat.
Yeah. I don't know. I'll be honest. I prefer Samus in just like the mysterious bounty hunter suit.
Oh, like, yeah.
The reveal is
Samus is much cooler, but when
just
we're talking
the
about
the reveal
asses,
is excellent. Yeah, yeah.
Playing Metroid Prime and just going in and out of the vault.
If we're talking about where it's like behind her and she's looking at the spaceship and there's the rock and it's just a good ass.
It does final things. And just on the topic of Metroid, I really hate that they're like banking on the Zero Suit thing now.
Mm.
Like, Zero Suit Samus is a big thing in...
Mm.
In Smash
Bros. You gotta have those rocket heels.
Oh, but I just want, like, give me Samus in, like, a badass, you know, bounty hunter suit.
I don't know, a Metroid game?
Give me a 3DS 2D Metroid game, right? That'd be amazing.
Just give me a Wii U 3D Metroid game.
Just do something. Don't Mega Man.
Please. Let Retro Studios be working on that instead of another Donkey Kong game.
I think they're quotation marks, not doing anything right now, so I think that means Metroid. I totally think Metroid.
No, they're doing a Zelda first-person shooter. Zelda means Red Steel.
They cancelled a 2D Metroid game. To do
they cancelled two 2D Metroid games.
To do the new Luigi's Mansion,
right,
on the 3DS.
Well, actually, Metroid Dread's never officially been cancelled, but that was being developed for
like
the DS. So I think we can safely say that's not around.
Anyway,
so who was the dark haired chick in Uncharted 2?
Claudia.
She had a nice bum.
Yeah, she did.
She had a very nice bum.
I'll pay that.
She had a very... She.
Although you're not just saying that because it's... what's her face from Farscape, are you?
No, I thought...
Wait. Who's from Farscape?
Oh, no, maybe that's why I'm saying it's Claudia, because she's
Claudia. Oh, yeah, no, you're
Claudia
right.
Black.
Yeah, no, Claudia Black. Yeah, that was the
voice
character.
By her.
I feel like it was some, like, N something, but I don't know. I could be completely wrong. Potluck, you got the internet there? Get on it.
What am I looking for?
Black-haired girl, Uncharted.
Yeah, Uncharted 2, wasn't it?
Yeah.
She was from Uncharted 2.
That was the first one she appeared in.
Girl.
She was in 3 as well.
Uncharted
2, best
Uncharted.
Chloe Fraser?
That's the one, Chloe. It was
Black
Chloe.
Black-haired Uncharted 2, and it comes up with Lego.
She's voiced by Claudia Black.
Yes, she is voiced by Claudia Black. She had a nice... The eyes were weird in that game, though. I seem to remember very, like... Liquidy eyes.
Weird jawline she's got
there.
Yeah,
that's a little weird.
The Nolan North was pretty good.
We're not talking about best jawline in a
video
game.
We're just commenting on the jawline, not the butt.
We're talking about best butts in a video game.
Point her away.
Yeah, my vote goes to Miranda from Mass Effect.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll go with Chloe.
Even though he's got back problems, I'd still burn Snake.
Oh, actually, yeah. No, of course, there's all of the butts in the Metal Gear Solid franchise are just, you know...
It's just the
tight suits.
All right, I think that's it. Thank you again for our very first email. We're officially a real podcast.
We are officially a real podcast.
And again, if you want to send an email, you'll definitely get a mention because we're very, very lonely people.
We're very lonely people.
That's podcast@itsallcanon.com.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Well, I've been Will.
We'll just see
how
I
will.
I'm Alex.
I'm Ben.
I'm Jolin.
And we'll probably see you in a couple of weeks. Send us an email. We won't get back to you for 10 days because we don't check the email.
We love you.
Yeah, but
we love you.
Now we can actually know that getting emails is an option.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So now we'll have to check it hourly.
Yeah, hourly. I'll set it up to check on my phone. Anyway,
all right,
okay, we'll
first watch.
We'll see you guys later. Thank you very much for listening.
Wham, bam, slam, and can.
Thank you.